Travel with Rick Steves is brought to you by American Airlines, with 4,000 flights to 250 cities in some 40 countries around the world every day. It's easy to book your next flight at AA.com. American Airlines knows why you fly. I'm Rick Steves, and this is Travel with Rick Steves, and today we're traveling to Greece. I've got with me David Willett. David is an Englishman who's spent most of his life in Australia, but his passion is Greece. In fact, he wrote the Lonely Planet guidebook to Greece for 11 years. And David now leads tours for us at Europe Through the Back Door. And it's great to have David Willett in our studios to talk about, I guess, one of his favorite countries, Greece. David, nice to have you here.
Thank you very much, Rick.
Why does this Australian like Greece so much? What's the big deal about Greece for you?
The big deal about Greece to me, well, it's something that goes back to my childhood, Rick. And like many things, I was inspired by a teacher in primary school who taught me Greek mythology. And that's something that's stayed with me all my life. And I couldn't wait to get to the places where all these things supposedly happened. And
I've always thought that you're at a disadvantage if you're trying to understand the ancient sites and you don't know what mythology is all about. I have to say that's one of my weaknesses. I'm not that enthusiastic about all these mythological stories. Consequently, I look at those broken statues and they don't mean diddly to me. Wouldn't you say it behooves you to learn about mythology if you really want to get excited about the Greek ancient sites?
I think it's a big help if you have an interest in mythology, but it's not strictly necessary because you can see these sites on many levels. You don't need to be an expert in mythology. You don't need to be an expert in history. You can just take them as they are. So I don't think that you need to feel belittled by the need to know a lot about mythology. You know, you can just take it on your own level.
Now, Athens is really on a roll after the 2004 Olympics, and I was there just after the Olympics, and it just feels energized. Athens has benefited in the long term from a visitor's point of view, from the infrastructure that was brought on for the Olympics and so on.
It's a different city. It's the city – the Olympics have saved Athens. Athens was on a slow road to disaster until they won the Olympics. Okay, a lot of people question the amount of money that was spent on the Olympics in Athens, but really, if the money had not been spent on the Olympics, it would have had to have been spent for some other reason.
So, like, I think Athens is a city of about 4 million people. Four out of every 10 Greeks live in Athens. That's quite amazing to me. Almost half the country is in that great city, and it was a mess. I thought it was the noisiest, most polluted city in all of Europe. Then I went there after the Olympics, and they've really made great strides in cleaning the place up.
Yes, it's
transportation's down. I mean, what do they have, some deal where you have to have only odd license plate numbers are on Tuesday, even license plate on Wednesday, odd on Thursday, and so on to drive into the city?
That is one of the great farces in the attempts to modify Athens traffic, because what actually happened was everyone bought two cars, one with an odd number plate and one with an even number plate.
So it probably made congestion even worse.
So instead of halving the traffic, it doubled it.
Oh, but I felt like there was pedestrian streets and new parks, great public transit.
Yes, the real difference is in the quality of public transport. One of the great jokes in Athens is that Greeks are always late for everything. But after they put the metro in, people were actually turning up to work early because they didn't realize how fast it was.
Wow, that's great. Now, when you're traveling to Greece, I say see Athens in a hurry and then get out into the countryside. What's your advice for somebody planning a trip to Greece?
Well, my advice would be very similar to yours. I'm a country boy, and I find 2 days in Athens is quite enough, and I think it's probably quite enough for most people. Athens is not Greece. It has some of the great sites, but I think that's a very sensible approach.
People need to know, 150 years ago, I think Athens had like 6,000 or 8,000 people. It was a little village at the base of the Acropolis, and then it had some ancient sites. Of course, the Acropolis, the ancient market, the Agora, and then that town of the 19th century is today's little tourist cutesy area, the Plaka, right?
Yes.
And then it sprawled in the 20th century to 4 million people. So see the Plaka, hang out in the Plaka. That's where you get the restaurants, the nice hotels, the music in the evenings and so on. Mm. Check out the ancient market, the Agora, and the Acropolis on top of the hill. See the wonderful National Museum, and then head on out.
Head on out as soon as possible.
Then the question is, do they go to the mainland, Peloponnesian Peninsula, Olympia, Delphi, or do they go out to the islands? If you've got limited time, what's your advice there?
My advice would be to, which is contrary to most people's advice, is to stay on the mainland. I like the mainland much better because it's less touristy. I feel it's more genuine. If you want to see Greece, then stay on the mainland. If you want to be a tourist, go to the islands.
And if you're laying on a beach on the mainland, you don't know you're not on an island.
No.
I mean, it's very nice. The beaches of the Peloponnesian Peninsula are as Greek islandy as the islands.
Well, and the name itself, Peloponnese, means the island of Pelops. So
there you go.
So it is virtually an island.
You bring up a very good point, David. I'm talking, by the way, with David Willett. He is a tour guide for Greece, and for 11 years he wrote The Lonely Planet Guide to Greece. And we're talking about smart strategies for enjoying Greece. I find Greece is the most touristed, least explored country in Europe. I mean, at any given point, it seems like 90% of the tourists are in a dozen spots complaining about the crowds.
It doesn't seem to stop people going, following the crowds to those places either.
Well, they like it. I mean, if you go to Ios or Santorini, you're going to be surrounded by Scandinavians and fruity drinks and lovely beaches. It's a fun scene, but you've got an option, don't you?
You definitely have an option. I think that scene that you've just described is something like a post-university rite of passage. You go there, you drink, you party, and
sunburn.
You get sunburned.
If you're like
or me. That's why I don't stay in the sun. And you probably go back and can't remember anything.
But let's say you want to get away from that and really experience Greece in the modern age. I think you could go to a little town that has no tourism at all, find a town with no postcards, no hotels. No hotels, you know the word for bed and breakfast in Greece, domatia.
Domatia.
Great scene. Play backgammon. Develop a taste for Retsina. Give us some tips on you. Go to some little no-name town in the Peloponnese Peninsula. How would you manage? How would you connect with the culture?
How would I connect with the culture? The thing that you've raised here is something about communicating with people, and Greeks love to sit and talk. So the way I would go about it would be to go to the local cafe and just make myself known.
They would you love, be approachable?
Oh, people! I think people throughout the world are very approachable. They're fascinated by the outside world, like as we all are, and Greeks are very welcoming. It's very hard to remain by yourself if you go to a small village in the Peloponnese and sit down in a cafe. You won't be allowed to sit by yourself.
Really? It's like an English pub.
Like an English pub, yes.
Going to a cafe, or is it a taverna, you'd call it?
There are tavernas, there's cafes, there's cafe neons, there's many different styles of
places.
Do
they have backgammon boards just hanging around?
Everywhere has a backgammon board.
What's the Greek word for backgammon?
Tavli.
Tavli. So you can go in there. You don't have to say if you say tavli.
If you say tavli, a big smile will greet you.
Is that right?
And,
so a Greek person, if they're challenged to a game of tavli by this funny-looking American traveler,
yeah,
you're going to have yourself a game.
You are definitely going to have yourself a game and a bit of fun, too.
So there's your perfect social in.
And you're not going to get out of there in a hurry either.
That's a good experience. That's probably arguably a better experience than as good experience you can have anywhere. It's just connecting with people playing backgammon in a tavern.
I think that's the reason that one really goes to these places is to connect with locals.
What if you don't speak Greek?
People don't expect you to be able to speak Greek because Greeks themselves consider their language to be very difficult. And English is the second language in Greece. People in Greece are very big on education and they feel that to get on in the world, they need to be able to speak English. So if I want to ask somebody a question in English, I just look for someone under 30 and they all speak English.
That's right. Young, educated people throughout, anywhere you'll travel, are likely to speak English. And when I travel, I get good at not going to countries where a lot of people speak English, but knowing how to choose people who are more likely to speak English. Anybody in the tourist industry, anybody well-educated, young people, likely to speak English. Is Greece enthusiastic about its membership in the European Union?
Greece was very enthusiastic, but they're very worried at the moment because from being the poor boy in the European Union, since the expansion, they're now halfway up the ladder. And the money is now going down to the people at the bottom of the pile.
That's right. With the first sort of group of nations, it was Greece, Portugal, and Ireland that were the poor boys.
Yes.
And they were getting a lot of money from France and Germany and so
yes.
on.
Yes.
And every time you see a new freeway, it would have a flag with the European circle of stars on it.
Telling you how many euros they'd spent on it.
Yes. Brought to you by your friends at the European Union who recognize you as a weak link in this giant free trade zone and want to get you up to speed.
Yeah.
Now you got 10 new nations joining in 2004. And all of a sudden, Greece is going to be on the paying end rather than the receiving end.
The funds are going elsewhere now, yes.
So that has taken a little bit of enthusiasm of the European Union out of the Greek people.
I wouldn't say it had taken away the enthusiasm for the European Union, but what it's done is taken away the cash.
That's right, yeah.
And sometimes cash does equal enthusiasm, but
Now, the dollar is not very strong, David. All over Europe, all over the world, the dollar is weak. Mm. And in Greece, we're going to be using euros. How expensive is it for American to travel, and what are some good budget tricks?
Well, Greece is no longer a cheap destination. For many years, it was known as the cheapest place in Europe to go on holiday. Unfortunately, since it joined the euro basket, that is no longer the case. Prices in Greece have soared in recent years, so you really do need to watch your dollars. My tip is to find a place where you have access to cooking facilities, because if you're eating every meal in a restaurant, you are very soon going to run out of cash. And I like to stay in a place for a little time rather than constantly moving, because that way you get to know a place and you could obviously settle down and start to save a bit of money by not being constantly in restaurants.
Are there still hippies hanging out on islands selling their hair and their blood?
When were you last there, Rick?
That was the standard way to extend your trip when I was a kid.
Yes, I think Joni Mitchell did that, didn't she, when she was down doing her lying under the Mata Lemoon on Crete with all the other hippies.
Crete, that's where there was. There was communities on Crete that would make subsist by selling their hair and their blood.
Yeah, they lived in the caves at Matala.
Right.
And you can still see the marijuana leaves stenciled on the walls of these caves from those days.
History now.
History. Yeah, the ancient history, yes.
Well, the drug of choice for a lot of Greeks is retsina. Do they actually like that stuff?
It's an acquired taste, but yes, they like it very much.
Describe the taste and a little bit of where it came from.
Oh, well, I think the taste is probably slightly akin to paint stripper. Not that I drink a lot of paint stripper, but it has the same effect on your lips.
So it's a retsina, it's pitch. It's like a tar or something.
It's mixed with pine resin.
And did that originate just because they had to waterproof the barrels?
People are unsure about the origin, but in a country with lots of wine and lots of pine, I think it's inevitable that the two should come together. And the main theory is that the pitch was originally used to seal the barrels, and then they said, that works quite well. I don't mind the taste either.
Well, after three or four glasses, I personally don't mind the taste either. You really acquire a taste for that disgusting on the first glass of retsina.
Yeah. I think you've just got to get past that first sip.
My very favorite taste treat in Greece, and it's a wonderful budget trick, is souvlaki. The souvlaki pita, the wonderful little shish kebab sandwiches.
Yes.
That's like $2, even in Athens.
You can get it for less than $2. About $1.50 is the standard fare. So that is a very good way of
you can fill yourself up on
eating cheap. Yes. Yeah. Look, I know people who eat nothing else when they're in Greece.
It's a temptation for me. Boy, the Greek language for me is very difficult, and I have to admit, I learn a few of the niceties, but I'm hopeless when it comes to Greek. How do tourists generally manage?
I think with any language, if you make an effort to reach out to them, you will always be made welcome. You don't need to know much Greek. You need to know the basic greetings. If you do that, then you will get by. But you don't need to worry about it, because one of the strange things about Greece is how many people speak English. And the younger people are generally the best bet when you want to ask a question in English. A lot of older people have spent time in other countries, so you can never be quite sure. I remember a very funny time when I was down near Sparta, and I'd gone looking for a giant olive tree that was supposedly hundreds of years old, and I'd seen it in the museum. And I set out to find it, and I got instructions from a pharmacy. I have a theory that pharmacists speak English. Anyway, this day I was completely wrong. The pharmacist spoke no English. But there was a customer from New York in there, and she drew me a little map of where this tree was. So I set out looking for it, and I drove straight past it. And after a few minutes, I thought, okay, I shall ask the next person I see for directions. And the next person I saw was an elderly shepherd with several hundred sheep wandering through the olive groves. Oh, dear. Well, I said I'd ask the first person. So I got out of my car and I walked over to him and said in my pidgin Greek, "Where is the big olive tree?" And he leant forward on his crook and looked me up and down and said, "Would it be easier if I gave you the directions in English?" He'd spent 20 years in Toronto.
You know, I met a lot of older Greeks that spent their working lives in America. Yeah. And then they retired back in the old country.
Yes.
Consequently, you got these shriveled up old people that look like they've never been off the farm, and they speak New York.
Yes, exactly. It can be quite bizarre.
David Willett, it's great to have you here, and it's fun talking and dreaming about traveling in Greece. Thank you very much for your information, and happy travels.
Thank you very much, Rick. Good to talk to you.
Travel with Rick Steves is brought to you by American Airlines. With their new Advantage Award booking tool, it's easier than ever to book to over 800 Advantage Award destinations online at AA.com. American Airlines knows why you fly.